Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast.
Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
All right, well, happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. We are so privileged, so honored that you would put us in your earbuds today and listen in. We know that you're a busy church leader, and there's a lot of things you could be doing with your time today, and we hope that today's an encouragement for you. Today, I'm excited to have Brandon Cox with us. He is the senior pastor at Grace Hills Church in Bentonville, Arkansas. So welcome to the show again, Brandon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
Nice. You know, well, you might know, people might know Arkansas, Bentonville, Arkansas for two things. One is Grace Hills, and the other is there's a little chain of stores based out of there. I think Walmart's based in your hometown, aren't they?
Yeah, we call it the local dime store.
Exactly. Nice. Yeah. Great. Well, that's fantastic. Now, you've been on the show in the past, but why don't we just kind of reintroduce people to yourself and to your church?
Okay. Well, I'm Brandon Cox. I originally come from Kentucky. I've spent the last 9 years in Arkansas, except for 1 year in the middle of that where I went to Southern California, went on staff at Saddleback Church. They sent us back here to plant Grace Hills Church. So we've been at that about 3.5 years now, and just moved from one movie theater to another. So we're kind of one of those movie theater church plants, and you know, started from scratch and have about 250 or so coming, and just keep seeing lives change. So it's kind of where we're at. I'm also the editor of pastors.com, so I kind of do that half and half time, I guess.
Nice. Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, so today we want to talk specifically, it's kind of caught my attention. I'm like, this is an interesting thing going on at your church. As a church plant, 3 years in, you're obviously looking for ways to multiply and to reach out and to reach more people with the message of Jesus. And so how have you been doing that? What's been kind of, what kind of approach have you been taking to try to extend, the kingdom?
Well, I would say that on the outreach end, the initial contact end, Facebook's been huge for us. And I know that's something you help people out a lot with. And Facebook has been enormous because it gives us a first point of contact with complete strangers. Mm-hmm. But they're not complete strangers because they usually find out about us because a friend already likes us.
Right.
And they show up that way. So we already have a little bit of a conversation and a knowledge of them when they walk in the door. Which has been great. And then just using relationships, quite honestly, allowing people to bring friends and others has just been kind of the key to getting where we are right now.
Nice. Very cool. Now, I know you've got a heart for church planting. And so I'd love to talk a bit about, you're in the process of kind of helping a church planter release out and kind of reach a new community. Why don't you kind of talk us through that process? What has that looked like? I'm encouraged that a church, just a few years old, is already doing that, is already working to discover and develop some other leaders. So let's hear a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, I think that was really born out of, first of all, a belief and ecclesiology that says churches ought to multiply. Mm. Believers should, and small groups but the church should as well. And a lot of times when you talk to leaders of larger established churches, there's a real fear. We don't ever have enough money or enough people to do something like that. Mm. We have to keep on collecting and keep on collecting. And that just doesn't sound very New Testament to me. So we started Grace Hills. We decided we wanted to be born pregnant. And there was this the stat that I remember, and I don't have a source, so don't quote me, but I'll blame it on Ed Stetzer because I heard him say it.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah, but about 85 to 90% of the people who leave a mega church to go plant a church are successful. Hmm. And it's because they take with them the knowledge of the systems and the culture and the aggressive vision that you often don't have if you've never experienced that atmosphere. Well, that got me to thinking, I really think it's something empowering to church planting to allow a potential planter to spend time right in the middle of a church plant that's actively growing. Mm-hmm. So even though we're not a mega church by any stretch of the imagination, we did want to start from day one to be what we called a teaching hospital. Hmm. Everything we try, everything we do, good, bad, or ugly, we want someone to be in the middle of it for a year before sending them out. So that's kind of what got us started on the path, was just a belief that we ought to multiply, and the idea that we can't wait till we're ready or it'll never happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I think just to be commended to have that kind of mindset. I hope people don't miss that. I think pretty unique in the church. I think you're right. There are a lot of churches that are based on kind of let's collect people. Let's continue to, keep people. Rather than, we're going to be open-handed right from the beginning. We're going to find a way to extend ourselves and to multiply. So I just thank you for doing that and for modeling that. Now, that must be a real tension for you as a leader, because you're developing someone who could run significant parts of your ministry down the road, but with the mindset of saying, I want to release them. Talk through that tension a little bit.
Sure. In fact, Michael, the first guy that we've put in this role, his background is youth ministry, and he was pretty successful in youth ministry. And youth ministry was something we were kind of needing at the time. So it did create a tension of, man, I'd really love to have him jump into that area. But we resisted that simply because we started from day one having written down the core value that the kingdom comes before the success of our own local church. And if we were going to live that out, that meant forcing ourselves to stay focused on what best grows the kingdom, not what best grows our church. So really, it's just a matter of fighting it. Now, thankfully, Michael's skill set was such that we did use him in a variety of areas, and that was important to us. We wanted him to touch everything, to work in kids and set up and do some administrative stuff and just do everything that a church planner was going to have to do. So,
let's start at the beginning. How did you find Michael? He sounds like a great guy. How did you find him, to kind of join your team?
Well, when we first moved back to Northwest Arkansas, I got an email from Michael. He had had a kind of a long-term interest in church planting, and he was involved in youth ministry at the time, and he just wanted to have coffee. So we had coffee, and we talked about church planting and what we were doing at Grace Hills. And at that time, everything about Grace Hills was still kind of just a pipe dream. We hope this works, We hope we're alive 3 years from now, kind of thing. And so we just kept meeting for coffee every couple of months or so, just sort of talking through his calling and what was going on with us. And then we began to kind of formalize our system for bringing in a resident. We sort of wrote down what we would look for and what we would do. And I knew that Michael had been through an experience or two of trying to get into something like that, and it just wasn't a right fit a couple of times. So finally, I just sort of popped the question, would you ever leave where you're at and come on board for a year and learn how to do this? And he and his wife prayed about it and jumped in with us. So
did you do any, so outside of the relational connection, did you do any kind of assessment work or any kind of, external kind of verification? I know sometimes in these processes, that can be, a part of the deal. Was there anything like that in the process with Michael?
Yeah, sort of. He had already done two different assessments. One was an Acts 29 assessment, and the other was Acts 29 borrowed assessment. So he'd already been through it a couple of times, and he gave us all of the paperwork and the results from all that. Okay. So we just had a lot of conversations surrounding that. Yeah. And then when it came down to the end of his one-year residency, we were going to do one more assessment. Some personal things came up that in his family's life that kind of prevented that. But I do think assessment is really important, really strong all along the way to determine gifts and skill set and readiness.
Okay. So, why don't we talk kind of, we'll start with the macro. How was his year structured? And then maybe we can zoom in on, what did a kind of an individual week look like? So how did he kind of go through the residency? And then what was kind of the individual week like?
Yeah, what we wanted to do over the course of the year was, first of all, to have him touch every possible ministry area. Mm-hmm. So we wanted him to work hard and get a feel for what it was going to be like to plant. So he had to be there to set up on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. And we put him on the greeting team. We put him in front of kids teaching fifth and sixth graders. Nice. We just sort of went through the gamut. He preached probably three or four times during the year that he was here on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And then so in terms of the bulk of what we did on Sundays, we wanted him to see and touch everything. Mm-hmm. And then the other big half of who we are, small groups. Mm-hmm. So we wanted him to launch a small group and then develop leaders out of that small group. Mm-hmm. We wanted to see, can he gather? Can he develop? Can he disciple? Mm-hmm. And he did. He had some people who weren't connected, and he got them connected, and they have remained connected at Grace Hills even after he's transitioned out.
Wow.
And one of those couples is, they lead our financial peace groups now. So,
oh, very cool.
So, you know, some good things that happened there. During the week, the one biggest thing that was mandatory was every Tuesday morning we have a staff meeting. You got to be part of that. Mm-hmm. And whenever, right now we just have two elders about to have our third, but as we talked about those sort of high level decisions or directional changes, we wanted Michael to be in on as much of that as possible. Mm-hmm. So we felt like it was important for him to understand how decisions get made.
Right.
We value being flexible, wanted him to feel the tension of that, mm-hmm. All that good stuff. So really just tried to immerse him into everything we possibly could.
Very cool. Now, so then he's, give us a sense of his planting trajectory from here. So he's going, you know, is it close by? Is he going across the country? Is he going to Southern California? I don't know why God hasn't called us all to Southern California. You know, what does that look like in his timeline?
He is actually about 30 minutes from us.
Oh, okay, cool.
Worked out really well. We kind of said, I'm not sure if we're ready to plant right next door yet. Mm-hmm. We help planters who are right next door, mm-hmm. but they're not necessarily going directly out from us.
Right.
We would love to sort of expand in the region. One of the reasons for that is because we decided that Northwest Arkansas, being the home of Walmart and being very rapidly growing, mm-hmm. serves as a significant hub. We're, right. you know, 3 hours from Kansas City. We're close to St. Louis, Dallas, Oklahoma City, Little Rock. There's all these cities around, and everything in between is territory we'd love to plant churches in.
Right.
So Michael and his wife checked out some different areas and sort of surveyed around and just fell in love with Siloam Springs, Arkansas. And it's a place kind of like where we are, where there's quite a few good churches, mm-hmm. But there's a struggle among those churches to reach the nuns, to reach the disconnected. Mm-hmm. So he really wanted to plant right there. And so it worked out well in that sense. And they're even looking into possibly renting a movie theater like ours. And they're getting a much better deal than we've ever gotten. So
he used your negotiation skills.
Yeah, he did.
That's great. That's very cool. So now, what would you say to a church that's listening in? They're saying, hey, this maybe sounds like something we would want to try. What are, you know, maybe the pitfalls to avoid or things that you wish maybe we would have done different, not necessarily with Michael, but, you know, just in general, things you need to be looking, you know, out for?
Yeah, I think a church, number one, has to realize that branching out to plant another church or significantly support a church plant is not going to hurt your bottom line. Mm. The more mission-focused your church is, the more it's going to grow. Mm-hmm. And so you may think, well, we don't have people to give up or we don't have resources to give up. But the fact is, when your church gives big, you teach people to give big. Mm, so first thing to know is this is not going to hurt you to value the kingdom. Secondly, is to understand that it requires a lot of time and personal attention. Mm-hmm. You can't just bring in a resident or an intern and say, okay, here's staple stuff for us. Right. It really needs to be a mentoring time, with a couple hours a week given to here's what happens in staff and here are the skills you need. Let's work on your timeline. Let's talk through discipleship. Let's spend a lot of really involved time. Mm-hmm. So you got to decide that that's a priority in your schedule before you do something like this. And then lastly, I think, is to find ways to be unselfish in other ways. I told Michael from day one, you've got a year with us. You have a free fishing license. If you develop relationships with people who decide to go with you, we're going to consider that a win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it was kind of a weird moment, but I had a family come and they were sort of new and they'd connected to Michael and they lived too far away to be involved with him. But he came to me and he said, hey, can I just have your permission to give our tithe to Michael for a year?
Oh, wow.
And I'm going, absolutely, man, that's fantastic. So
that's great. Huh. No, I think that's just to underline that, I think, you know, I found that in my own ministry, our ministry as a church, the more open-handed we are,
Mm-hmm. You know, that just attracts people, that because that's the kind of people folks want to be around. You know, when you get really closed fisted on that stuff, people pick up on it. And I think ultimately, I think the Lord doesn't bless that, you know, for whatever reason. I can understand that, you know, at the end of the day, it's about being open and, you know, being gracious on how we interact with folks. So what will the relationship be between your church and the new church? Are they, you know, how's that all going to work?
Well, in this particular case, we want to plant an autonomous church. Uh-huh. So 5 years from now, mm-hmm. four and a half years from now, they will be totally out from under us and independent of us.
Right.
Over the first 5 years, we support them financially, and we meet at least monthly to coach and work through things, and we sort of provide some level of accountability if we spot red flags or warning signals.
Yep.
And really, that's the same thing that's been done for us by our sponsoring churches. Mm-hmm. So we're just sort of continuing that tradition. But over time, they will be completely autonomous, and we hope that they will have already started planting another one by the time that happens.
All right, so now this isn't me trying to pick a fight at all. I just I'm interested to hear what you say. So I love this approach. I've spent most of my time thinking about multi-site rather than church planting. Give mm-hmm. us your kind of thinking between, you know, these two. Why not just continue to think about, you know, maybe pushing, you know, doing a campus down the road? How does that all, you know, level up in your head?
I'm a big fan of both, and I think we will use both. Mm-hmm. I think when the time is right, we'll use both. Mm-hmm. I think it's really, really risky to try to go multi-site when you have less than 700 or 800, and I'm only basing that on, you know, sort of current trends.
Yep.
So we're just not there yet. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think it's a good, you know, you look at Village Church and several others who have been very successful going multi-site and planting autonomous churches at the same exact time. I see it as a campus is like growing an extra limb to the body.
Right.
Whereas planting is birthing a baby with your DNA.
Right.
And I think we will value both as time goes on. Probably will not do an autonomous church next door. I think it'd just be confusing to where do we invite people. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably do campuses next door and daughter churches half hour away or more.
A little farther away. Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, Brandon, I really appreciate you taking some time out today to talk through this. Is there anything else you'd like to share with folks? And then we'll find out how we can get in touch with you if people want to learn more.
You know, the thing that was on my mind, really just this morning, in fact, was just reading a brand new report about where things are in America. Mm. And saw the statistic that it's up close to 36% or now that consider themselves nuns. They're totally unaffiliated. Mm-hmm. And it just sort of broke my heart again that as we do all of this, as we plant churches, as we plant daughter churches and multiply, I think we have to do something about the nuns, and we got to do all this for the right reason. Mm-hmm. And the ultimate reason is to go after people who are lost and apart from Christ and need redemption. And so we just got to keep sharing the gospel in every possible way, mm-hmm. even when it means planting out of ourselves when we can.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you being on the show. I know I've said it before. One of the statistics that drives me in what I do, trying to reach people who don't, you know, regardless of their spiritual background, the nuns or folks that don't, you know, don't normally attend church. I, you know, heard this stat that between 1990 is predicted between 1990 and 2050, the absolute number of people who attend church in our country will be in half of where it was, you know, at that point. And I'm like, that's my ministry years. Those are the, you know, when I'm dead and gone, I have the heart middle core of those years. It's the, you know, time that God's called us to lead. And so what are we doing? And I've just been so encouraged today to hear the story about what you're doing at Grace Hills and taking time out to really develop another planter in Michael to see him reach. So thank you so much for tuning in or for being on the show today. If people want to get in touch with you or with Grace Hills, how can they do that?
Easiest way is just go to my website, brandonacox.com, mm-hmm. and there are links there to social profiles and the church and pastors.com, and I'm fairly accessible, so there's email addresses somewhere, and be glad to connect with anybody that wants to.
Great. Thanks so much for your time today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com, and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.